My scripture reading is in 1 John 4 and starting with the 7th verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these blessed words of love. Heavenly Father, we know that you truly represent the ultimate in love. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving your only begotten Son for each one of us, that we may have that hope of eternal life. And Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless the rest of this service, bless each one here. And Heavenly Father, we ask all these things in the name of your loving Son, Yeshua. And amen. And today my text is 1 John 4 and 8. And let's look at that again together. 1 John 4 and 8. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And I know all of y'all have heard that many times before. But you should know and always remember that if you think that you are unloved, you're totally wrong. Because there is at least one who truly loves you and give his only begotten Son for you, that you would have that hope of eternal life. That hope of something beyond this natural life. There is more than just this that you experience day by day. God is love, and He does love you. And by that we know that He wants the very best for us. Because that's what that's what love is. Love is that outgoing concern for another's interest. The greatest of concern for each other. That is love. God wants us to love Him. God wants us to love our brothers and sisters. My message to you today is entitled Eternal Love. There is such a thing as eternal love. Love that is everlasting, never ending, will always be there. You can always know that it will be available for you in your greatest time of need, in your least time of need. God is available, and God does love you. Abraham was one of the greatest of natural men on this earth. And he became a great man of God because he claimed the precious promises of God. And he moved forward in faith, believing that God was trustworthy and would keep any promise, any word that it came out of his mouth, you could rely on. You could count on. He was trustworthy. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that all that God promised, and God did speak to Abraham directly when he called him, all that he brought to Abraham, all that he promised to him, he was able to perform. He would deliver. In Romans 4, 20 and 21, we read of that. In this statement by the Apostle Paul, we find an explanation of Abraham's greatness and a possible explanation for the spiritual weakness of many of God's children today. We, for many reasons, lack a faith that does take hold, grasp the promises of God, and at their face value. And we lack that faith that allows us to march on, depending on God to deliver what He has promised. The Apostle Paul speaks of the exceeding great and precious promises of God by which we are to become partakers of the divine nature. Let's look at 2 Peter 1 and 4 in speaking of this. 2 Peter 1 and 4. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. A study of the Bible will reveal clearly that God is a promise-making and promise-keeping God. Do we believe it? God has never failed to deliver what He has promised that He will do. And what He has promised to do for you, you can count on He will do it. And as we study the testimony of the saints, we observe that without exception, they all testify that God is faithful to every promise that He has ever made. Let's be true to our faith. And let's be true to God. Let's accept His promises and believe that He is able to perform that He has promised. Without such faith, spiritual success is impossible. The Bible is a record of God's faithfulness in keeping His promises. This promise of love by our Almighty Creator God, this promise of love is forever. The old saying is, nothing is forever, but God is forever, and God is love, and God's love for us is never ending. So we're speaking of a love that is eternal. Eternal love. Volumes have been written about the precious promises of God. But let's look at the divine promise of an eternal, undying love that we find in the Word of God. God spoke through many men concerning love. And He spoke through Jeremiah the prophet, saying, let's go to Jeremiah 31 and 3. And see what Jeremiah says of this. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Isn't that wonderful? God spoke through Isaiah to the children of Israel. He said, and in Isaiah 49 and 15, He said these words, can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God loves us. He wants us to know that. He wants us to know that He wants to be a loving Father, a spiritual Father, with all the love and so much more than a natural Father. He wants to be our Father. He wants us to be in His family. God has a family. He wants us in it. He wants us to be inheritors of all that He has ever promised to anyone. All of the great things of success, of having a loving family, of having people that love us and let us know that they appreciate us. He wants the very best for us. And He promises that to us. We need to make sure that He is our loving Father. That we accept Him not only as bringing everything into existence and sustaining or holding it there in place, but that He wants us as part of His family. And as to Isaiah, the children of the people, children of Israel, were strengthened and sustained in their days of adversity and hardship by this awareness of God's great loving care. Israel is God's chosen nation forever. Jerusalem is God's chosen city forever. Everyone who accepts the loving Father and the sacrifice that He made through giving His only begotten Son, Yeshua, to die on that cross for us, as we accept the Father and His sacrifice of His Son and the love and care of Jesus Christ, we become as literal Abraham's seed and inheritors of all that anyone has ever been promised, all the blessings of Israel, all the blessings of Judah is ours. And as we hold on to God's hands throughout our life, never turning loose, never changing our mind about our loving Father God and His eternal plan for us, we are forever His. We never fall out of His loving care. He will always, as the loving shepherd, do whatever is necessary to keep us in the flock, to do whatever is necessary to bring us back in. But we need never to even think that we are going to turn loose of God's loving hand. That would be the most dangerous thing that you could ever do. But you always want to stay in His loving care. And you will be there as you just continue to hold to Him. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman Christians, and I love this verse. It's probably right at the top of my list, along with, I'm sure, a bunch of others. Some I discover every day. But I love this verse, and I love this verse. Oftentimes you hear it at funerals. I've used it more than once at funerals. But it speaks of love, and it speaks of the Father God's love to each one of us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? He replied, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded," Paul says, "I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And you find that in Romans 8 and 35 and 37 through 39. Paul rejoiced in knowing of this ever-present, ever-available, never-ending, eternal love of God for each one of us. And we urgently need this message of God's undying, eternal love today, more than ever today, when there is so much hatred throughout the world, particularly abroad, and when there are so many things that would discourage us from living by the principle of love. The principle of love, the natural outgoing concern that God wants us to have, not only toward Him, but for each other. And not only for each other, but for all. He wants us to have a natural, outgoing concern for the welfare of others, not just our own immediate family. If we were constantly aware of God's great love for us, surely it would strengthen our faith and cause us to rely on His promises and challenge us to do exactly what He wants us to do. He expects consistency. Too many give way too little consistency in their life, in their living, in their sacrifice for God and what He wants us to do and be. He challenges us to accept His word, accept His promises to us, and challenges us to do what He wants us to do, and see if He will not bless us above and beyond anything that we could hope or think. That it, as the right kind of child of God, as a right son or daughter, He will reward us to overflowing. He promises that to those that would obey Him, obey His commandments, keep His statutes and laws, keep His blessed holy festival days, all the things that God wants us to do throughout the year in a constant recognition of Him and a constant communication with Him, He's going to bless us above our ever imagination. If you haven't tried it, then you need to. How will you know? I know you want His blessings. I know you want His love. I know you want to be ready when He comes. And He is coming. It's promise. The great and mighty and terrible day of the Lord. That day is coming. We need to be prepared. This, this presence of love that we're speaking of, this eternal love, is always available. Its presence is assured. 1 John 4 and 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and has sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God promised love has been revealed most dramatically in His master plan for mankind in giving His only begotten Son, so that we would ever have that hope of eternal life, and that we would ever be able to ask forgiveness of our shortcomings and our sins, and know that we would ever be restored to Him, made right to Him, even though we might fall short at times and do wrong at times. Jesus Christ died on that cross so that we could ask the Father through Him, through the high priest, Jesus Christ, to forgive our sins. Jesus Christ was the sacrifice. Jesus Christ makes it possible that we can do this. No limits is placed on the divine love. Let's look at Ephesians 3:18 and 19. Ephesians 3, May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. He wants you to know that ultimate love that He has for you. The love of God is as broad as the wide world. It's as wide without being shallow. It reaches out to include all people of all countries, of all races, of all colors and cultures. The love of God reaches to the farthest point in its quest to redeem and forgive. It reaches back into the past and extends forward in the future. God always has loved us and always will, and will continue to love us. The love of God reaches down to bless us in our deepest need. Sin cannot cover a person to the extent that the love of God is unable to reach down to however low level that you are and lift you up. The love of God has brought the Son of God down from on high to meet our deepest need. The Word of God says that we are all sinners and come short of that which God would have us to be or to do. We, as humans, all sin, all come short. We all have not the power to save ourselves or lift ourselves to a position where we would please God. What we were unable to do, God's love has done for us. It restores us to God. It makes us right with God as we follow His plan, as we recognize our faults and ask forgiveness. That's what it's all about. And we need to recognize that we occasionally do things wrong and say things wrong and react wrong. And we need to recognize that when we do. And do what God wants us to do. Be restored to Him. Ask forgiveness of these failures. And lastly, the purpose of this love never changes. The promise of God's unending love for us is no sedative to lull our souls into sleep in spiritual indifference. Instead, it should be a constant motivating force to a life of trust and obedience. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all, so that they who might live no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. We owe it all to the Father God. And we owe it all to Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate price. The assurance of God's eternal, unchanging love can sustain us in times of difficulty or tragedy. Let's look at Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28, and I'm coming to a quick conclusion here. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You are called according to God's purpose and plan for you. And we need to recognize that, and we need to get in His plan for us. God, in love, will be at work in everything that happens to bring out the best possible result in everything that comes our way. The constant awareness of God's love can even make us rejoice in times of chastisement, correction. It can even make us, as we are aware of it, make us rejoice, because that we know that when we are corrected, God is there. He's bringing it about. And this is that loving shepherd keeping us in the fold, keeping us where we need to be. And we need to think of that with the right attitude and knowledge that God is at work in our life. And He is what's behind some of these chastisements that we go through. And we need to know that even in these events, that it is motivated by God's love for us. Remember the parable of the waiting father, often called the parable of the prodigal son? It really speaks of the eternal Father God's love for each one of His sons and daughters. That father went out each day, and as his son had been gone a good while and doing his own thing, living his own way, going his own ideas, his father never gave up on him. His father always went out and looked in the distance for that son to return. And you know, if you are strayed away from God, God is there looking for you. He's looking and hoping that you'll make the correct changes in your life, in your attitude, in your way, in everything you do and say and are. He wants you to change it to be that child that He wants you to be, that He brought you into the world for. And He's saying, come home to the Father. That long-waiting Father whose love for you is eternal. If you would, let's all stand. And we want to read the blessing of God to us, and our blessing to each other this blessed Sabbath. Let's all read it together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace.